lied, Rob. I did bring it with me.
Oh, there you go.
You need it?
No, I have mine.
Was there like an application last month? Hmm? Was there an application for whatever we have for tonight? I don't have anything for whatever's tonight.
No, last month we've just been a continuation of the week.
And we had 56 Main Street.
Yeah, but
we did do 56.
I don't know that I have the stuff for the woods.
The woods was so lofty. Oh, you weren't here because you didn't know we had a meeting. That's right. She wasn't here in December.
Oh, you weren't here for the initial application.
Yeah, I was.
That was when you
I was
did
here.
Because you had.
No, she wasn't here.
I was here in December, 12/21.
Well, they've been here. This is their third month.
12/21 was all about 56 Main Street.
Yes, you're right. They were here in November, and you weren't here in November because we hadn't had a meeting for forever.
Oh, okay.
Remember? And you had plans.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I don't have anything on the woods. Like I usually get like this kind of stuff. I don't have anything.
All right. I'll get you that.
Okay.
I'll get you that. I have it. But I don't have it either.
Yeah. Okay. I would give her mine, but I don't think I have mine.
I don't know. I didn't know if we had any. Why? You need one?
Yeah.
I'll get you one. Rich, did you get the did you get the link I sent about the New York State Super Handbook?
No.
Right, because that's what the same stuff is. They will not give me hard copies. But the online stuff on that is really good.
Okay, let me show you your comments.
Okay. But I'll get you that other stuff.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Are we ready to roll? You ready, Deb?
Yep, I'm all set.
What time is it?
7:01.
Okay.
Chief Beaumont wrote some sort of letter. Is that something you know?
This probably has to do with
the woods.
Yeah.
They gave him a set of plans to
Isn't
look at.
What tonight's about?
Hmm?
I don't know if that's something you should open now. He just wrote it.
He just wrote it just now?
He just handed it to me.
Take a look. Figure out if it's relevant.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Thank you.
The only thing I would say on this is she's with her baby.
All right, I'm going to call to order the February meeting of the Philmont Planning Board. Tonight, once again, will be addressed by the Woods, Colbridge. You want to go, Brandy?
Sure.
All right.
Okay, good evening. So thank you for having us this evening. We are continuing the discussion on the proposed subdivision called the Woods over off of Summit Street, 16 lots still remaining. We did submit to the board and the board's consultants some updated additional information, specifically the stormwater management plan and the detailed grading for the utilities and the roadway, which we needed that grading so that we could prepare the stormwater management plan as well. In addition, we have reached out to Chief Beaumont and provided him with a drawing that shows how his fire truck would move through that loop road. He's gotten back to us verbally and said he doesn't have any questions. He said this evening he might have a letter for me.
Yeah, I can read it quickly. It just came in. It says, in regard to the plans for project C51470-1, the Woods subdivision, in the village of Philmont, which we were provided to the fire company last month, were fully reviewed and meet our approval. The Woods Road one-way loop illustrated on the plan shows good accessibility for fire apparatus and presents no known issues for emergency vehicle operations. The hydrant system and water supply for at least 16 new homes that were shown on the plan page C603 would be adequate and sufficient for fire suppression. Remaining plan pages have also been provided, and the fire company has no immediate concerns and are in full support that the project move forward. If there are any questions, please contact me anytime. Mark Beaumont, Fire Chief.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you got that, because I meant to go downstairs this evening and pick that up. So, we also received a letter from Mr. Schmidt, your consulting engineer, that came in this afternoon. So I haven't had a chance to prepare a formal response, but we can run through it, and then I can, if you have any questions or if there's any further question that you have pertaining to what he's written, we can just make sure our response is very complete. Basically, his first comment was pertaining to the survey about we had used for our first submission the state's publicly available LIDAR topography. We've subsequently gone out and had the roadway corridor surveyed so that the profile and plans that are in the plan set that you all have is based on actual on-the-ground survey. We picked up at the same time while we were out having that survey done all the wetlands, so all the wetlands are properly mapped on your plans as well, so that any impacts associated to wetlands have been properly calculated for your purposes for seeker. The second comment that that Mr. Schmidt made was pertaining to the old 57 lot subdivision, just about filing an abandonment for that. That's fine. We note that that'll be part of our efforts. The third comment he had says conservation area E, which is this proposed area here in the middle of the loop road. We're proposing that as conservation area, and Mr. Schmidt's comment is the village should discuss whether it wants to own and maintain a park-like feature such as this. So, Andrew, did you want to comment on that one as far as what its condition is currently?
Yeah. So right now there's a kind of an informal trail system. There is the Josh Essig Trail that is in the conservation area. If you guys know, off of Chestnut Court, you walk back around all the homes. That currently comes in to the property and travels along the old roadbed. It's not pictured here, but the prior 57 lot subdivision, actually it is pictured up in the zoning map, had two different roadbeds on the property. And that Josh Essig Trail came into the private parcel and then went along that roadbed. So that has actually been, like, I guess, unofficially maintained. I believe it's being mowed, possibly by the DPW, but it's being unofficially maintained to connect the Josh Essig Trail through to the Overlook Court area where that roadbed was also carved in. So what we intended to do with this was to keep the connectivity through here. So we're moving it off of that old roadbed because that wouldn't work with the layout of the homes. And because we reduced the amount of road to this one-way loop. But we're shifting that trail into this area. So the intention is to keep the same maintenance that's happening currently, that these would be walking trails through here, that it would just be mowed, and the rest of this loop is a wooded loop. And after Brandy goes through this, I have a separate document I'll hand out that illustrates a little better the connectivity both to the conservation area at Chestnut Court as well as the conservation area by the lake.
I'm sorry, what is your name?
Andrew. I'm one of the partners of Club Reach.
Am I allowed to speak now?
Technically, you're not supposed to, but I know what your questions are. Can you just wait till he shows the, his full plat?
What I'm concerned about is I'm the trustee who was working with the Boy Scouts when that trail was developed.
Yeah.
And I want
exactly how it's connected to the dock so that maybe you can help.
Trustee Gitterman and I walked it last week.
Okay.
So I would like to, we could talk to you about that, but it needs to go to the dock.
Yeah, so this does keep connectivity into the conservation area, and you know, I'm not sure if where we're connecting is where it currently connects, but it would totally be possible to still connect the trail system to the dock.
That's what I would like to see, because there was an immense amount of work that went into that Eagle Scout project.
Okay.
I can talk to you later.
Certainly.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Bob.
That's right. I knew what your question was, Doug.
Okay, the next comment from Mr. Smith was that the applicant's engineer should provide a view of the proposed subdivision as it would be seen from across Summit Lake. So that's something we'll have for the board for the next meeting. And then the next comment is comment number 5, that the fire chief review the plan. So Mr. Fitzsimmons has presented the fire chief's response. Comment 6 was with regard to the highway superintendent reviewing the proposed plans and providing a written response. That would be Mr. Sider. And we have talked with him both about the roadway as well as the water system and the sewer system. Comment 7 pertains to the sewer system. So we'll get a letter from him, but we have met with him and reviewed the plan. So we'll work on getting a letter for that next meeting. Comment number 8 is about stormwater management and how it's going to work for the individual house sites. We have provided that information with this most current submission, and Mr. Schmidt's letter is commenting on our last submission, so I just don't think he had time to get into our current submission. But basically, the intent of this development and the reason why Clover Reach is going to build this development out is so that they can avoid clearing the whole hillside and just like having lots available for anybody to put any kind of house up on. They really want to be able to site houses individually in the woods and minimize the number of trees that are going to be cut down. That's why they're calling it the woods as a development. So with that, what we had proposed in our plan is a stormwater management system that is for the roadway network, because that's an improvement that's fairly large, it's got some grading impacts, and it's going to create new hardscape surface, which will create more stormwater runoff. So that's what we've got reflected in our plans, that there's a series of swales and culverts that convey stormwater to a pond where it's treated in accordance with the requirements of New York State for additional impervious area, and then is discharged down through the conservation area and ultimately to the lake after it's been treated. And then for individual house sites, we want to manage that on a house-by-house basis, so using dry wells and rain gardens for each house site. So we've provided a template for an individual house site, and that template would then be replicated as each house is developed. We've made some assumptions about the size of the house, and we've run through calculations to provide a typical sizing. But we would need to work with the developer for each individual house site for stormwater management. So we've submitted that in our stormwater pollution prevention plan, which we've sent also to your engineer for review. Let's see, then comment number 9 was with regard to providing the grading for the house sites and the driveways. So that goes into my comment just now about stormwater management. We will provide some driveway grading. I know that there's a number of driveways that will be over 10% just because the underlying grades exceed 10%. And so the majority of our driveways are between 10 and 15%, which we've mentioned to this board previously. Comment 10 is also about driveway grades and a question about whether or not there'd be any drainage that would come onto the roadway. Right now we're showing roadside swales for all the driveways on the uphill side. So lots 1 through 9 are on the uphill side. So the driveways would go from the road up to the lots. So conversely, stormwater would run down the driveways. There's a swale that runs along the south side of the driveway or the uphill side of the driveway that would be directed to catch the driveway runoff in that swale and then convey it down to the stormwater management pond. So that's what we're designing right now. On the downhill side, the driveways all slope away from the road, so there wouldn't be any drainage that would flow onto the roadway on that second. Comment 11 is about using street signs with breakaway style posts. That's fine, we're okay doing that. On comment 12, on the south side of the road, again, because the hillside slopes away, we are proposing in a number of locations a timber guardrail. And the timber guardrail consists of 12 by 12 timber posts and then a horizontal cross bracing. They're just asking us to provide some additional design details if Mr. Sider's okay with using timber guardrail. So we'll meet with Mr. Sider and we'll discuss that. There's a question on number 13 regarding stormwater swales being reviewed and if stone lining is going to be used for stormwater swales. Again, our more developed plans, which you all have, includes whether the swales are lined with stone, which is better for where you've got faster moving water that might cause erosion, or whether they're going to be vegetated. The majority of the swales are stone lined for two reasons. One, the site is fairly steep, and so we have faster stormwater runoff. And two, the soils on that site are fairly fine grained, which means they can be erosive. So our design had looked at the velocity of the stormwater that was expected during various storm events. And we've called out the sections of swale that will have stone lining associated with them. And then comment 14 was with regard to the roadway embankment grading being 2-on-1 as opposed to 3-on-1, which is more typical. We did look at grading the roadway embankment out to a 3-on-1, which is a little bit flatter slope. If you see like a landfill has a 3-on-1 slope generally, that's considered a mowable slope, whereas a 2-on-1 slope is steeper and usually needs to be stabilized with stone. We are proposing 2-on-1 slope because it keeps the grading impact narrower and it allows us to reduce the amount of clearing that needs to be done. And again, we're really focused on trying to preserve the woods as much as possible. So we did an analysis, and if this board would like kind of a comparative analysis of the area of impacts associated with 3-on-1 versus 2-on-1, we could certainly give you those numbers. But it allows the footprint of disturbance to be quite a bit smaller. And then number 15, the village's engineer just recommends that we use what's called a rolled erosion control product on steeper slopes while they're getting vegetated. So we agree with that, and our current plans do show those steeper slopes being treated with rolled erosion control product. Outside of that, from a seeker standpoint, at the last meeting, Mr. Fitzsimmons asked if we could circulate on behalf of this board your request to be the lead agent under seeker. And so following the January meeting, we worked with Mr. Fitzsimmons to identify the agencies to circulate to. We did send via certified mail a consent letter to the agencies. So we provided Mr. Fitzsimmons via email, and I have hard copy here this evening, the receipts for that circulation letter. It has not been 30 days yet, so the agencies have 30 days to respond back to you. At this point, we've only received one response back from the New York State Office of Parks, and they did consent to you all being lead agency, but we are waiting to hear back from, I guess, the Village Board.
They made a motion last night.
Oh, they did? Yeah. Okay. Okay, so the Village Board apparently doesn't want your job as lead agent under seeker. And then the DEC and then I think just sewer water was the other one.
Yeah, you got a response from Parks, you said, right?
We did get a response from Parks.
So you got DOH and Army Corps.
And the Army Corps, yes. So typically what we find, though, is that they let their 30-day clock run out. This is a subdivision which is very much in the jurisdiction of the planning board and not typically of other boards. So I'll give these to you for your record. This is the letter from Office of Parks consenting to you being lead agent. And then these are the certified mail receipts for that circulation. And then as we get the remaining responses back, we'll send them over to you.
Okay.
needed to make a motion about lead agent, just because you don't have all the responses back and we haven't had the timeframe pass. But outside of that, if there weren't any other questions, we were going to request that you set a public hearing. I know Andrew wanted to run through some of the environment and conservation issues pertaining to the trail and some of the other aesthetic items, so I'm happy to sit down, but did you have any questions for me before I do sit down? Okay, thank you very much.
So copies of this, and we can provide a digital copy to go up on the website for the public at large.
Thank you.
And it's off. And So these were slides that we used when we did the community forums here. You know, wasn't part of any formal process, but this was how we were communicating with the public about our intentions for the project. So I was just gonna go through, it just kind of covers conceptually like what our approach was, like this is what we brought to Brandy and her team to say like, here's what we'd like to try to do on this property. So the first one covers ecology and conservation. And you know, our orientation is different than this. We kind of showed it with the top of the hill up here and the lake at the bottom. So you know, the homes, we're gonna make energy efficient homes. I know Philmont passed the stretch code, which is 10% beyond, roughly 10% beyond New York State's current energy code. Our target for the homes is passive house, which, you know, probably goes another maybe 50% beyond that. So they're gonna be exceptionally energy efficient homes. Our intention with the lot itself, as Brandy pointed out, was to like, we wanted to try to keep every tree possible. You know, we were looking at like, what's the fewest number of homes we could put in there to be able to pay for the infrastructure that is gonna be needed to do the subdivision, but that we could, you know, we could still come out clean on the other end and you know, just do the least impact to that property. So that's been the goal that's been driving all of this. That's why we had opted for doing the one-way loop, because then, you know, the road comes in off of Summit Street and we have to be two-way there to get in and out, but the one-way loop means that the section of roadbed against that steep grade, it just required like that much grading. And then like Brandy was saying, like we went with a steeper grading off of the roadbed again, just to try to pull in the grading as much as possible. You know, wherever we remove things and need to put something back, like I guess what I'd say about the trees is, you know, we went through with some tree people and like there's definitely good trees there. There's maples, there's some red oaks, but there's also some of these invasive trees. I think it's called like tree of heaven or something. You'll see them like with the, like their seeds still hanging off of the trees. So, you know, we're going to remove as few trees as possible to put in the road. We're moving the houses around on the sites and where we can the driveways to make sure that trees stay and the driveway winds around the houses. But wherever we do see these invasive species of trees, or, you know, if there's trees that are unhealthy or, you know, ash trees that have signs of emerald ash borer or something like that, we will take out those trees. We'd like to improve the forest health through the development process, but in the end, we want it to look like woods, you know? And and then Brandy spoke to the water management. We were actually hoping not to have a stormwater retention pond. That, you know, people get upset when I reference the prior development, but the prior development was very typical of like older conventional developments where you kind of grade everything and then you handle stormwater in a retention pond. And so they had two ponds like in the conservation area. We were hoping to manage water in the landscape as much as possible and not have a retention pond. Due to the steep grade, the the soil itself doesn't have a great capacity, I'm saying that right, to absorb water. And then because the Overlook Court subdivision never got a stormwater retention system put in place, we are also managing stormwater that's coming onto the site from Overlook Court and other areas. So we do have what's different on the plat that Brandy provided compared to this one is that there is a small stormwater retention pond. This conceptual diagram was made prior to any of the engineering. So, you know, due to all those factors, we weren't able to go 100% away from that approach, but we have been able to minimize that stormwater pond to a very small area at the beginning of the project. So then if you go to the next plan or next page, this just talks briefly about the neighborhood plan. It's a little over 20 acres. We're doing 16 homes, and the average size of those lots vary from half acre up to the largest lot being 3 acres at the back. So, you know, we did that so that we didn't have to stretch the road like all the way into the back of the development. We wanted to basically minimize disturbance wherever we could, and that was the best way, was to leave larger lots toward the back. So also there's something else we haven't really talked about, just from neighborhood design. You know, having homes closer together gives it more of like a neighborhood feel. So we didn't want to just space out, you know, like a few houses around. We did want this to feel like an extension of the village and a neighborhood that is, you know, a part of and in the village. So then if you flip to the next slide, it says homes. So again, these have changed a little bit because of the stormwater retention pond at the beginning. These first lower homes got pushed a little bit further to the back. But the idea with the homes is to keep them close to the road, to keep them out of like the backyards, which would have pushed them closer to the lake. We're intending to restrict on the deeds that the house colors must be dark colors or natural colors, with the intention that these homes will disappear into the woods. And then, you know, we did actually some measurements today from, not from the water line, but the parcel line of the conservation area, which is actually back a little bit from the water edge, the current water edge. We measured to each one of these house locations, and we averaged 482 feet from the edge of the lake, or excuse me, from the edge of the parcel. So they're a little further back. They probably average about 500 feet back. I think the closest home was on lot 2 and was something like 433 feet, and the furthest ones, we just measured lots 10 to 16, the ones that are closer to the lake. I think the farthest was like 550 feet, something like that. And we can provide that information. But yeah, there, you know, I guess what I would say is like, we read a lot of, like we read the comprehensive plan, we read, obviously we read through the zoning, but we read through all of the brownfield opportunity area data that was generated to support that application, just to help understand, like, you know, what is the area? Like, I live here for 5 years, but I don't know everything about Philmont. Like, 5 years is a very short period. So reading through all of that, there was a document in there which has to do with lakefront, I'm gonna botch the name. So this is a section of the document called Crafting a Lake Protection Ordinance. So in 2001, when the Village of Philmont did the comprehensive plan, they created a buffer zone that you can see on the zoning map. It's a 125-foot buffer. The lake protection ordinance give document that they pulled for the BOA talks about best practices for any lakefront development, and they say like they give kind of an idealized scenario of different areas, and they say that homes, ideally would be 200 feet back or more. So I just wanted to point out that we're well beyond that. So if you go to the next one, so this shows approximately, but we did end up pretty close to this in our final or our preliminary plat submission. The areas where homes are going to be relative to the areas, the lighter shaded areas, are what we would be turning over as conservation area in the project. I'll get to, oh, actually, you know what, the next slide is much better to show that. It shows the greenways. Sorry. I'll put this on my board. But I'll show in a later slide how that works with connectivity, but the idea was basically to try to keep the access like very park-like. People are, walking through this private parcel right now as a part of that trail system, and we thought that it would be really nice if that doesn't get lost in the subdivision, that you don't just have to walk down the road and can't go to different green areas. So the next slide, yeah, so basically that center area is what was asked about in terms of maintenance, if the village would want to take on and maintain something like that. It really will just be woods in the middle of the road with mowed paths for walking through the road, just like the trail is now. And then you can see up towards Overlook Court, we're keeping that connection right now, where the Josh Essig Trail comes in kind of at the top here, in the middle of the property, and goes out on Overlook Court. So I do want...
That's not exactly right.
Can you show me actually on here? I'm not allowed to do that. Because right now you come in here and you walk through across to there. Where does it go to the dock? The dock is over here.
It's way back here.
So does it follow that roadbed down further?
The Essig Trail, I'm trying to find where Overlook Court.
Overlook Court is up here and the Essig Trail comes down there.
Comes down through here behind.
Yeah, it does Chestnut and then way
and
down
then
it's in this.
It comes down to the road here.
Okay.
But then it makes a sharp turn down.
Okay, so it follows
here.
The other roadbed, which goes back to here, and then it must break off somewhere.
And on the tax maps, I know this is private property,
mm-hmm.
but some of your lots that are proposed are where the trail is going to be in the back.
So yeah,
it's easier to look at it on the tax maps than on that.
Okay, we could look on tax maps together.
Yeah.
So yeah, but the basic idea, actually this one's easier if you put, the next page showed what we were proposing as a possible like community garden, but that's basically just more a conservation area that would be turned over to the village. The village could use that however they see appropriate. So yeah, if you go to the page that says connections, so right now there is no connection from Summit Street. We would be creating one. The connection from Overlook Court goes into that center greenway. The connection from the Josh Essig Trail in the back 20, the other conservation area, comes into that middle. And then they both go through, we would be turning over a portion of property that connects into the conservation area so that you could go into the conservation area and to the dock. And, if they do put in this rail trail in the future, this would get you very close. The village's conservation area goes very close to it, although it doesn't have like a land-based connection to it. So there's another neighbor we want to talk to about. so that was our intention, is to keep all of that connectivity, to keep the trail systems, to kind of keep the maintenance the same from the village's perspective, and then make all of that legit instead of the trail connections all going through private property. they would actually be going through village-owned property.
So it is set up actually, so the Essex Trail will get to the dock, is that correct?
Well, I think what's happening is that the Essex Trail is going, taking another route, kind of a long way through mm-hmm. the parcel. So we would be rerouting part of it. So right now, there was a roadbed that continued back to a circle, a cul-de-sac
mm-hmm.
at the end. And so it sounds like the Josh Essex Trail goes back to that and then goes down to the dock. So this portion of that trail seems like it would have to be rerouted with our plan.
The part that goes over to Overlook Court, that is not part of the trail.
Right.
People have been using it, but that's not part of the Essex Trail.
Right.
It goes from Chestnut Court down and around to the dock. Mm-hmm. That's it. The part that goes around back to Overlook Court on your property?
Yeah.
That was not part of the original trail. It's just something that people have been doing.
Right. They're just mowing it, keeping it clear, enjoying it. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, we wanted to keep all of that because
well, basically, you're saying you can fix this Essex Trail so everybody's going to be happy.
Well, so if we're changing where you would access the conservation area from the private parcel,
mm-hmm.
we don't necessarily have the right to go in and change anything on the conservation area, so that might be up to the village as to like how that connection gets remade. So, I don't think we could create, if I'm understanding what you're saying, I don't think we could create the connection you're talking about without putting like a very long trail through the middle of the property. I don't know if that will.
It wouldn't be the middle, it would be at the end of those properties that are at the end of your loop.
Right.
Could we set up on
We could do it along this line or something.
Do you want to set up a time to meet? We can get the full survey map and an aerial photo and go through that.
Yeah.
We were talking about meeting, walking through there this weekend. I didn't know is that useful to actually walk through? Because if I can speak, I was walking through the Essex Trail and there's one point where it comes down to the dock where it drops down to the landscape drops down very steeply to the lake, and the property comes right up to that slope. And so I would like to look at that area with you, but we might not be able to see it from just a map.
I think if you and I and Andrew could meet, when we had a computer with the tax maps on it, we could work it out.
Yeah, I mean, I could bring my iPad with the tax maps. We'll be able to see where we are on it. So. Okay. That was all I wanted to come forward. So I'll send you the PDF. Okay.
Yeah.
Want me to go through the requirements as
yes.
we discussed?
Rob's got some stuff we want to go through.
Sure. So as the planning board knows, we're kind of at the preliminary plat submission phase for this project, and I just wanted to review the requirements for that with the board. It's actually in our code section 130-22. And I'll summarize them because there's a lot, but these are the things we're going to be looking at to make sure it's complete so that we can accept a preliminary plat. An actual field survey with boundary lines, names of all contiguous owners, and identification of any contiguous land, streets and right-of-ways within 200 feet of the boundaries, location type, width, elevation, surface, location width, purpose, and restrictions upon any other rights-of-ways or easements, drainage structures within 200 feet, location, size, or capacity of all other utility structures, sewer, water, gas, power on the subdivision, contours should be shown. Designated wetlands, marshes, ponds, streams, and all lands subject to periodic or occasional flooding or unstable similar conditions. Rock outcropping, wooded areas, isolated preservable trees, structures, stone walls, or any other significant features, and then tabular data regarding soils. Location and layout of municipal sewer and water hookup. Streets need to be checked for street names with the village clerk, so they're gonna have to propose a street name. Width, location of any streets, public ways, right-of-ways, tentative centerline elevations, so basically road profiles and designs, there's a lot of requirements on that. Lot lines and dimensions scaled to the nearest foot, location of buildings and locations of driveways, lot numbers, proposed easements, parks, and restricted areas and other improvements, we're gonna need purposes and restrictions. And designation of the areas and right-of-ways to be offered to the public, which we were just speaking about. And then they submitted a stormwater pollution prevention plan that's under review by your engineer now, so that's there. Water supply and sewage treatment systems, I think we have a few grinder pumps here. So one of George's comments was to make sure those were privately owned, so the village doesn't go into a house and maintain a grinder pump. Easements, covenants, or deed restrictions, they mentioned the trees, the house colors. And the trees, I think on the trees, I would suggest to the planning board, we need more than just lip service on that, respectfully. You know, as you said, to get in writing what would be removed, what wouldn't be removed, and not to go out and survey and flag every tree for 6 days, but, you know, to give us some guidelines and boundary lines so that we have some teeth to it. So if three owners later, they start clear cutting trees, we can go back and say, no, 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 because.
We did survey all trees 12 inches or bigger. So.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you have the data.
Yeah, we really meant it.
All right, great. And then the other thing George commented on, and we've mentioned a couple of times, and then at the village board meeting last night when the request for a moratorium on subdivision was placed out there, a lot of residents still have the concerns about the visual impacts and what they'll see. Yeah. And I think we discussed it before, not that we're benchmarking this off the previous subdivision, but there was a rendition submitted at the time, and a lot of people challenged that as insufficient artistic. And but the planning board at the time took it as adequate, fair representation of what the leaf-off condition would be from the other side of the reservoir. So I think we need something concrete at your discretion to submit, subject to challenge, of course, or review or scrutiny. And then having that before we get to public hearing would be a good document, because then we can circulate. It'd be on the internet, and we can make sure everybody knows what we've got. There was a suggestion last night of a balloon test. We're not putting up a water tower, or we're not putting up a cellular antenna. Residential construction is limited to 30 feet. We want to see what we want to see. So you're duly noticed on that, so to speak. On the conservation area, the center area that you're proposing, I mean, there's work to be done on the trail connection. If you my understanding from this discussion is if you relocate the trail, the village's portion may need to relocate somewhere as well to get those to connect. So that discussion can happen with trustees in charge of that and see to come to a consensus. I'd also recommend we see what type of maintenance you would speculate or anticipate for that areas dedicated to the village, so that we know what kind of work, you know, annual mowing, you know, like when they put in the rail trails or the electric trails, they told us in the municipalities, we expect it needs to be mowed twice a year by your DPW, and then they can fit that into the load, just so we know. Any stormwater maintenance special? I'm sure that's George's.
Yeah, similarly, annual mowing.
Yeah. And I just, as George said when he submitted his comments today, I think we're all a couple days behind because he didn't get a chance to go through the stormwater ahead, and then he gave us his comments about 4 hours ago. So he said none of those were showstoppers, and Brandy's addressed them all tonight, but I think we need to get those, the two engineers, to agree that they agree and that we know that they don't disagree on any point, to bring back to you. And then, so I would anticipate we can button all this up and let the secret time clock on the lead agency designation pass, because you can't declare until that time, and then have all this done and buttoned up at the next meeting, and then get public comment at a following meeting, have a public hearing. That would be my suggested progression, so that we have all the details. Nothing's gonna be subject to change. If you open up a public hearing and then something changes somewhat substantially, then there's a good argument you gotta continue or reopen a public hearing. So we wanna do it right and do it once.
Yep.
Does that work? I mean, it's probably slower than you wanted to go, but I think it's prudent.
Yep, yes. But that'll give us time to work out the trail issue.
The trail and the visual, I think.
Okay.
That's all I had, Chairman.
Well, it makes sense. I'd rather have everything buttoned up so that there's no, you know, comebacks. So we can meet again in March, and hopefully in April we can get you in front of the public.
Okay.
Make sense?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Or we don't have any other applications on the agenda. If we needed to set a special meeting sooner to get the public hearing going, we could contemplate that as well.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Okay. Anything else?
So Andrew, you're going to take care of the trail with Doug and Deborah, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm good. Anybody? Good. All right. I need a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're done.
Who seconded that?
Rick seconded.
Seconding.
Right?
They both, yeah.
Or was it Ozzy?
Either one.
Debbie, is the copy on, you know?
Yes.
Brandy, I'll make a copy of the fair company letter for you.